Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, the 29th of May, Pope Francis visits a Laudato Si project in the Italian town of Castel Gandolfo. Cyclists participating in the Giro d'Italia due to cycle through the Vatican for the first time in the history of the race, and the Vatican's 30-year-old website gets a makeover. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Leo took a special trip to the papal villas at Castel Gandolfo this morning, where he visited the Borgo Laudato Si, an area of the papal residence converted by Pope Francis into a space for formation and raising awareness about a care for our common home. Christopher Wells reports.
Pope Leo XIV on Thursday made a surprise excursion to the papal residence in Castel Gandolfo, where he visited the Borgo Laudato Si project initiated by his predecessor, Pope Francis. The Laudato Si village, located on the grounds of the papal villas, is a space dedicated to formation and education on the theme of the earth as our common home, an example of the integral ecology at the heart of the encyclical for which it is named. During his visit to Castel Gandolfo, the Holy Father also visited the Apostolic Palace, which Pope Francis had transformed into a museum in 2016. With the publication of Laudato Si 10 years ago, Pope Francis shone a spotlight on the critical issue of care for our common home. The natural spaces surrounding the papal residence at Castel Gandolfo, including 20 hectares of farmland, greenhouses, and service buildings, were determined to be the best place to give concrete form to the principles proclaimed in the encyclical. That dream came to fruition in 2023, when Pope Francis founded the Borgo with two chirographs and with the intention of making a tangible contribution to the development of ecological education. The project is under the auspices of the Laudato Si Center for Higher Education, established at the same time and tasked with raising awareness about care for the environment. With the help of experts in botany, biology, integral ecology, and related disciplines, the Borgo began to offer opportunities to explore the values underlying Laudato Si, and at the same time offer preparation courses for jobs such as gardeners and green space maintenance workers. The Borgo Laudato Si welcomes not only entrepreneurs and specialists, school children and university students, but also those who are marginalized, for whom Pope Francis had special affection, including migrants, women victims of violence, people with disabilities, ex-prisoners, ex-drug addicts, and many others who are often deprived of educational opportunities. I'm Christopher Wells.
Pope Leo XIV will greet Giro d'Italia cyclists as they pass through Vatican City on Sunday, the 1st of June, in memory of Pope Francis. It was Pope Francis who had welcomed the proposal presented by Cardinal José Tolentino de Mendoza, prefect of the Dicastery for Culture and Education, that will see the cyclists traverse the world's smallest country for the first time in the history of the Giro d'Italia. Nicoletta De Rosa reports.
On June 1st at 3:30 p.m., Pope Leo XIV will greet the cyclists of the Giro d'Italia on Sunday as they pass through Vatican City State. The event will also serve as a tribute to the late Pope Francis, who had embraced the initiative originally proposed by Cardinal José Tolentino de Mendoza, prefect of the Dicastery for Culture and Education, and implemented in cooperation with the Governorate of Vatican City State and Atletica Vaticana. The project for the Giro d'Italia to pass through the Vatican is a symbolic first step in anticipation of the Jubilee of Sport, which originated in 2021. The final step of the 108th edition of the Giro d'Italia will start from the Baths of Caracalla. In a non-competitive format, the cyclists will enter Vatican City through the Petriano entrance, will then ride alongside St. Peter's Basilica in the sacristy, then ascend towards the Vatican Gardens, exiting through the Porta del Perugino. The route will then trace along the walls on the so-called Marian Path, a kind of world tour, made possible by the presence of many images of the Mother of God, venerated as patroness in various countries. The path begins with a mosaic of Our Lady of Good Counsel, dear to Augustinian spirituality, and continues to the Quadrangular Garden and the Vatican Museums, including an avenue specifically dedicated to sport, recalling the competitions promoted by Pope Pius X in the early 1900s. The cyclists will then travel in the shadow of the Sistine Chapel, eventually arriving at Santa Marta Square, before exiting Vatican City through the Perugino Gate. Once back on Italian territory, there will be the official start of the Giro d'Italia's final stage.
Following Pope Leo XIV's renewed appeal for peace during his general audience, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Visvaldas Kulbokas, emphasized the urgent need for prayer and dialogue in the face of ongoing violence. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Svitlana Dukovic, Archbishop Kulbokas highlighted the Pope's concern for the increasing attacks on Ukrainian cities and infrastructure, stressing that the call to pray for peace is more crucial than ever, especially as the war enters its fourth year. And as Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports, he also pointed to the recent Russia-Ukraine prison exchange as a reminder that even when political solutions seem distant, dialogue remains valuable, at the very least on a humanitarian level.
Attacks against cities and civilian infrastructure are not decreasing but increasing, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine observes, pointing out that recent days have seen a surge in bombardments, even in the capital of Kyiv, every day, every night. In this context, the nuncio underscores that the Pope's call to prayer is not only timely but essential. He recalls, "We are still in the month of May, the month dedicated to the Rosary. I always recall the words of the Virgin Mary at Fatima, pray, pray, pray. Through prayer, you will overcome destruction and war and obtain the conversion of hearts. So it is practically the only weapon we have as church and as humanity." The nuncio also addressed the largest prisoner exchange between Ukraine and Russia since the start of the war, which saw 1,000 individuals returned on each side. He described it as a very important development and a great joy for the people who returned home. Kulbokas confirmed the Holy See's ongoing involvement, particularly through the nunciature in Kyiv. "We are contacted multiple times a day by families or associations seeking help to locate missing or imprisoned loved ones, many of whom are civilians." He acknowledged that the exchange was one of the few tangible outcomes of the recent talks in Istanbul. Even though political issues were not resolved, the dialogue at least served on a humanitarian level, he said. However, he warned that exchanging civilians, especially children, remains extremely difficult. Often paradoxically, it is easier to exchange military prisoners of war because Ukraine can offer something in return. This, however, he said, is not the case for civilians. Therefore, he noted, "We seem to be in a bit of a dead end, and therefore we must intensify both our prayer and our efforts." Despite this, he welcomed the fact that some civilians were included in the recent exchange, noting, however, that the number of Russian civilians in Ukraine is very limited, not even remotely comparable to the number of Ukrainian civilians held on the other side. The Apostolic Nuncio concluded by affirming the role of faith and compassion in such dark times, saying, "It is practically the only weapon we have as a church and as humanity." I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Meanwhile, in the region, negotiations concerning a possible peace deal in Ukraine are ongoing. Russia has proposed holding the next round of direct talks with Ukraine in Istanbul on the 2nd of June, as Joseph Tulloch reports.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said on Wednesday that Russia has proposed holding a new round of direct talks with Ukraine on June the 2nd. There was no immediate reaction from Kyiv, which has often accused Moscow of feigning an interest in peace negotiations. Delegates from the warring countries met earlier this month in Istanbul for the first time since March 2022. The May the 16th talks failed to reach an agreement on a ceasefire, as sought by Kyiv and its Western allies. Moscow said that certain conditions must be met before such a move is possible. Russian President Vladimir Putin, after a call with Trump on May the 19th, did, however, say that Moscow was ready to work with Ukraine on a memorandum about a future peace accord. Earlier on Wednesday, the head of Russia's delegation at peace talks in Ukraine said that he had called Ukraine's defense minister with proposals for the date and venue of the next meeting. "Let me emphasize right there on the spot that we are ready to begin an essential, substantive discussion of each of the points of the package agreement on a possible ceasefire," he said. Separately, Russia's foreign ministry's spokeswoman, Maria Zakharova, said that it was agreed that Russia and Ukraine would each prepare their vision of, quote, modalities of settlement and ceasefire, end quote, and would discuss and exchange the documents at the next round of talks. Pope Leo XIV has often spoken of the importance of achieving a just and lasting peace in Ukraine, and the first foreign leader he met after his election was Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky. At the General Audience on Wednesday, the Pope said, quote, these days my thoughts often turn to the Ukrainian people who have been struck by new and severe attacks on civilians and infrastructure. I assure them of my closeness and my prayers for all the victims, especially for the children and families. I strongly renew my appeal to stop the war. I'm Joseph Tullock.
The bishops of Latin America and the Caribbean gathered for the 40th General Assembly of the Latin American and Caribbean Episcopal Council, known as CELAM, marking 70 years since the first General Conference in 1955. Pope Leo XIV sent a telegram to Cardinal Jaime Spengler, Archbishop of Porto Alegre and CELAM President, highlighting the ongoing importance of ecclesial communion. The Pope acknowledged CELAM's role in the Church's mission, fostering episcopal unity, coordinating pastoral efforts and driving evangelization, especially in challenging contexts. He also emphasized the suffering faced by many in Latin America due to crises and poverty. Despite these struggles, the Pope urged the bishops to focus on the risen Christ and share the gospel with joy. And finally, the Holy See's official website, Vatican.va, has a new modern design to present papal teaching to the world in a more accessible format. Devin Watkins tells us more.
The Dicastery for Communication announced on Thursday that the institutional website, Vatican.va, boasts a new graphic design. The portal seeks to bring the papal magisterium and the heart of the Catholic Church closer to the whole world. The new homepage was designed to offer a clearer and more accessible browsing experience. Visitors will now be able to navigate more easily among the documentation of the papal magisterium, that of Pope Leo XIV and his predecessors. The update is part of an extensive editorial and development effort structured in several stages with the goal of transferring the site's immense historical heritage, online since December 1995, into a renewed portal. To make these pages accessible, diverse teams work together. These include the documentation group, which ensured all content is accessible, and the informatics team of Dicastery for Communication, which developed the structure. It brings to life the project of Peruvian graphic designer Juan Carlos Ito, an alumnus of the first group of the Faith Communication in the Digital World program run by the Dicastery for Communication. In a statement on the Dicastery's website, Mr. Ito explained the portal design and his goal behind the new look. He said it seeks to represent the embrace of the Church in the digital world. This was the first thing that came to mind when I heard about the intention to renew the official website of the Holy See, he said. Mr. Ito noted it follows the spirit and elliptical shape of Gian Lorenzo Bernini's St. Peter's Square, representing the Church with open arms, universally accessible and updated for modern times. He called it a clearer, more approachable, and contemporary church. The colors are inspired by the Roman blue sky, which contrasts with the warm tones of travertine. Mr. Ito said the larger and more prominent photograph of Pope Leo XIV fills the home page, all of which, he said, shows a living and constantly moving church. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va as well as all our social media pages. Many thanks today go to Bruno Orti, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.